Dear listeners, this is Indra Hardat, Interim General Manager of WBAI. I would like to take this opportunity to thank our producers, our volunteers, and all of you who pledged for our recent winter fund drive. With your support, we were able to raise approximately $900,000. With your support, we can continue to provide the award-winning programs that are part of our history. It will also help us sustain our commitment to commercial-free community-sponsored radio that educates, informs, enlightens, activates, and sometimes even inspires. Thank you so very much for your continued support, and please honor your pledge. Thank you.
And it's just about 7 o'clock on this Wednesday evening, and that means Off the Hook time.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. So Billy Bones was the best to say the worst.
Good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, where we take a look at the world of high technology and all the other fun things that are going on around us. With us tonight is Jim.
Bonsoir.
And Mike.
Hi there.
Redbird.
Good evening.
Mick Fly joins us from Germany.
Hello.
And we also have Arseny.
Hi.
And Walter.
Hello.
Okay, great. We have another packed studio. And we don't have Bernie S. tonight because he is still feeling the Hungarian flu, believe it or not. That's a keeper. That when you get sick over there, it's for a while. Okay, story of the day. Yes, if you can believe it, this particular song is in the news all over again. And it's because of events over in England. Some guy named Haraj Mann was playing this song in a taxi. Here's how it works over there. You basically are able to plug your MP3 player or whatever into the taxi, which is kind of cool, and then you can sort of sing along with the song that you want to sing along to. It's kind of cool. Now, this guy was singing along to this song as he was driving to the airport with a taxi driver, obviously, and apparently the lyrics that he was singing out loud were, "London calling from the faraway towns, now war is declared, and battle come down. London calling to the underworld, come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls." Apparently that didn't sit well with the taxi driver, who reported the passenger to the authorities. He was dragged off the airplane that he was on, and questioned at length. He missed his flight. It's simply unbelievable. This story happened, the incident happened last week. Last Wednesday. It's just hitting the media today. What do you guys think about this?
The first thing I want to know is what taxi driver would agree to have this installed in their taxi.
Apparently it's something big over there. That's an interesting little feature. But not really the issue here. The issue is how people are reacting to this increased security alert.
I have a message to taxi drivers, authorities, and others concerned. And that is that, like, sensible terrorists do not sing about their plans or destruction in the presence of people who are not already privy to them.
And also, they have this thing called security checks on the way into the airplane, too. And just because somebody is singing a song that you might not like doesn't mean that they're somehow going to thwart security in addition and do something bad. It's probably just your own paranoia. And the fact that the guy's name is Haraj Mann, obviously he was the wrong ethnic persuasion. His skin was a little too dark, perhaps. Who knows? Jim?
This reminds me of an incident that took place more than 30 years ago. One of the writers of the musical 1776 was polishing it up on an airplane flight, and somebody took umbrage to his trying to compose lyrics with democracy and freedom and tyranny.
How about just the fact that he was singing out loud in an airplane?
Well, he was like under his breath, if I recall the story correctly. And he was pulled over, and this was way before terrorism hit. So
I find that when I mutter under my breath on an airplane, people do tend to take an interest.
You're a little different from many of us. You can mutter under your breath anywhere, and people take an interest.
You're welcome to give it a shot, you know, and see what people do. But I don't know. Let's listen to the offensive lyrics for a second.
I was there too, and you know what they said. Some of it was true. Some recall it at the top of the dial. And after all this, won't you give me a smile?
Well, Mr. Mann is a mobile phone salesman of Indian origin. He missed his flight to Heathrow last Thursday because of the security check. And, sorry, our CD player is malfunctioning. And he missed his flight because of that and took a taxi back to Hartlepool. And he said he was questioned under the Terrorism Act.
Which is more or less, the Terrorism Act is more or less Britain's version of the USA Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Similar.
It's unbelievable, though, that this kind of thing happens, and it's considered not that unusual. I mean, people are jumping on the story now, but you just look a little bit suspicious. You look a little bit different, and all of a sudden, you're someone who needs to be questioned some more. But I want to know is who's the taxi driver? I think we should be reporting idiots. If you see an idiot, report that to some authority. Because this guy was responsible for all kinds of delays, all kinds of invasions of people's privacy, and I think that's a bigger threat to the system than some guy singing along to The Clash. But we don't get to find out that guy's name. He's protected for some reason. He can do stupid things like this.
There's a lot of idiots. It would be a very long list.
It would be a long list. That's true. But imagine if you were able to get them all in one place and just, you know, let them live in their particular continent and everybody else could get on with something else. Like why?
Well, if you go in the subway here in New York, you hear very often, if you see something, say something.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean if you see anything, say every, you know, well, these people are reporting the slightest little things.
Yeah, this is what I mean. Isn't this a kind of denial of service attack? Everybody just would.
Absolutely.
Well, I think nearly everything, if you see this, nearly everything is suspicious. We just should say every time something and we'll get rid of this problem soon.
I mean, look, the guy reporting this was an idiot, obviously, but the authorities listening to him simply because some guy is singing to a song, that's enough to pull someone off an airplane?
This gives an opportunity for 2600 meetings. I mean, people have occasionally bemoaned the lack of culture at these meetings. We should form choruses and sing.
Let's not.
Various lyrics. I was thinking, this is good. Boomtown Rats, I don't like Mondays. Shoot it all down, you know, the lyrics.
Yeah, but we have the meetings on Fridays anyway, so.
I know, but what I'm saying is, you know, we could just be
all right,
in places.
All right, we got it.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to some people about this online earlier. There are people who have never heard The Clash. It's music their parents listen to. I've never felt so out of touch before, but if you can believe that, this is music that their parents listen to. And how do you rebel against that? How do you rebel against The Clash, you know? I mean, when we were kids, our parents listened to what? Perry Como or Al Jolson? I don't even know.
Who are you asking? That's what I want to know.
Okay, but, you know, the weird thing is that music changes so quickly, and something that you think is revolutionary actually becomes the mainstream. This guy's singing along to a mainstream song, something that his parents or someone else's parents would be listening to.
You know, this leads into something about people reporting way too much. Walden Books and Borders, I suggest a boycott of them because of what they're about to do. They're barring a magazine called Free Inquiry. The April-May issue is coming out, and the reason that they're doing this, ahead of the issue coming out, is because they're publishing the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad printed last year in a Danish newspaper. They're doing this way ahead of any threat of protest, any protest, or even the appearance of the magazine. And the editor-in-chief of the magazine Free Inquiry, which is published by the Council for Secular Humanism in Amherst, New York, and I quote, this is a great quote, "To refuse to distribute a publication because of fear of vigilante violence is to undermine freedom of press, which is so vital for our democracy."
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're not a subscriber, if you pick up 2600 on the newsstand, please try to find it somewhere else other than Borders, Walden Books, and if possible, buy your other books somewhere else than Borders and Walden Books.
Well, are there bookstores that are carrying this magazine?
Free Inquiry? I've seen it at Barnes & Noble's.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen 2600 at Barnes &
Noble's. Yeah, well, yeah, we're in all those places, but are they going to carry the issue that has these cartoons?
I don't know. The only article I've seen about people barring Free Inquiry is Borders and Walden Books. They've come out and said this already, sort of preempting any possible theoretical, unlikely problems.
Amazing times we live in. Like I've been saying to some people, we have printed a caricature of the Prophet Muhammad in 2600, but we're not going to tell you where it is.
Heathen.
It's in there someplace, though.
Infidel.
As if you don't know what he looks like, you're going to have a hard time finding it. But that's just the nature of confusion. Okay, anything else going on that's exciting? Any other technological developments you guys want to pass along? Yes, Jim.
I have something that is about 10 years too late for us. Some people may know, Emmanuel and myself and a few other people who have appeared on this show in the past used to be part of a hacker collective called Network Development Labs years gone by. And one day, one of our members came in and said that there was a dumpster full of 286 machines. And, of course, we couldn't take advantage of this. But now, if you find a dumpster full of computer parts, books, anything great, there's a service in New York City that would be useful for you. It's called GarbageScout.com. And it's been up since January, and it has a map service, and you can give a location and describe the stuff that's in there and even post a photo. So if you're in New York City, and I'm sure that they'll expand this to other places, and you find something on the curb and you may not want it, go to GarbageScout.com and post this, and somebody will thank you, either in person or...
Well, I just wanted to add that you need a Web 2.0 enabled browser to go to that website.
What exactly is a Web 2.0 enabled browser?
Oh, it's very complicated.
Well, why don't you tell us since you brought it up?
I think you're stretching this out. I was just making a joke.
Ah, okay. Well, you see, our listeners don't know that. Not all of our listeners know. They're going to freak out and think, Web 2.0, oh my God, what do I have to do now? It's maddening. Okay, our email address, oth@2600.com. Of course, we always like hearing from our listeners, and we'll be taking phone calls in a little bit as well. But I'd like to catch up on some mail that we've gotten over the past couple of weeks. We haven't had a chance to get to all of it. Here's a writer from Brazil. I was doing some random dialing here, and I was wondering the significance of the different busy signals I get. For instance, sometimes I get something like 2222. That is the same tone repeating. Actually, I'm sort of doing it wrong. It should be 2222 like that, all one after another. But other times I get 2222222, a short and a long tone.
Now, how did he type that out?
He did TU-TU-UUU.
Oh,
gotcha. In all caps. The short pattern only appears after dialing the last digit, so it might be a standard busy line signal. The short long pattern usually appears even before dialing the last digit, but this is not the usual reorder signal I know of. Do you know anything about it? Well, every country is a little bit different. I know that the phone engaged signal, sometimes it's just a single tone, or sometimes it sounds like a fast ring in some countries. In your case, I think one time you're getting a bad number. The first one with the short ones might be you dialing the wrong number or something because you're getting it immediately. It's possible the second one is a busy tone. The only way to find out is do things like call yourself, see what it sounds like when you do that, call numbers immediately surrounding the one that you're dialing now, and you might be able to figure it out that way. That letter comes from E-Typecase. Thanks for writing in from Brazil. Here's a letter from Finland. I've listened to your show some time now, and something came to mind. I live in Finland, the smallest Scandinavian country that you might have heard about in Conan O'Brien's show. And I didn't realize it was a real country. I thought it was something he invented. What I've been noticing are the same things you guys speak about all the time on the show. Our rights are being taken away. The worst part about it in Finland is that no one seems to be doing anything about it. From phone tapping to freedom of speech, It's all being reconsidered in our government. The latest thing that I think is worth mentioning is the Mohammed picture scandal. Suman Sisu organization posted the pictures on their website, which is www.sumensisu.org, to demonstrate for the freedom of speech, which is the constitutional right in Finland, too. But what is interesting now in all this is that the National Bureau of Investigation of Finland, I didn't know about them, is investigating if that organization is committing a criminal act in doing this, and that investigation has been going on since January. Of course, there are also the bust of BitTorrent users and tracker admins. This is only the beginning, and I think Finland is on the same track as the U.S., only some time behind. I hope I don't have to witness it. Signed, Renu from Helsinki. And thanks for writing in, letting us know how things are declining over there. What's the scene like in Germany, McFly?
In principle, it's the same, not so hard, and we're a bit behind, and we hope to fight it at least a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you guys have always been an inspiration to us. At least the CCC has always been able to do things and do them well and get support behind them.
I want to update something that a caller called about last week, and we didn't get time to fully cover it. A caller proposed an encryption scheme involving one-time pads where adds his key to the message and sends it to B.
This is the one where you said it wouldn't work and you wouldn't tell us why.
Yes. Well,
okay, well, are you going to tell us why this time?
I'm going to tell you why. All right. Sarif and I took a few minutes after the show last week to figure out exactly the problem. It turns out that if you take the two messages encrypted with a single key, so the first message in the scheme and the third message in the scheme, you add them together, and then you subtract the middle message, which is the message encrypted with both keys, then the net result is the plain text message. So an eavesdropper could easily get the original message transmitted with this scheme, which is proof that you should use one-time pads only once for any sort of security.
I'll bet it feels better getting that off your chest there.
Well, I don't want to just dismiss our listeners without, you know, telling them why.
Why are you dismissing them? Yeah. Okay. Arseny.
This actually reminds me of something some person made. It's a little program that lets you take any file and then add another file to it, and then you can use that same file. You can take that same file out so you get the original file. So what they want to do is, I guess you could take an MP3, which is illegal, and add this like little file to it, making it a completely different file. So the argument is that new file illegal or not?
Yes, we try.
Well, this is even the problem of stenographics, I think it's called, where you can, for example, put some information in pictures where you just bitmap, where you just get a color bit lighter or darker one bit, and you can represent, you can hide messages in that, for example, blow up something or...
Right, you're talking about using the least significant bits in images and audio files and stuff like that, so you can't hear or see a difference, but there's actually other content there.
Well, okay, exactly. I think the term is steganography, and about the pad and cryptography, and quantum cryptography, I think you can avoid a lot of the problems with eavesdropping of any channel. You can always tell if a quantum channel has been eavesdropped on, because of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
I see. Okay. Interesting. Our phone number 212-209-2900. We'll be taking phone calls in just a little bit, but let's also read a couple more pieces of email. And again, you can write to us, oth@2600.com. We had quite a bit of response to the caller last week who had the mystery charges on their cell phone bill. Let's see, this guy writes in.
You're referring to the guy who used a calling card to call another country?
Yeah, he was calling Jamaica, I believe.
Right.
And he had all sorts of things rack up on his bill. Now, this person writes in, I'd formerly been one of those telephone monkeys outsourced to look after customer care for a wireless company, now taken over by Singular. What he most likely did was dial the carrier access number, the 1-800 number, and mostly followed their instructions and dialed the Jamaica number that he wanted to call. And then he pressed send again and initiated a three-way call or call waiting, with line 1 connected to the 1-800 call and line 2 connected to the long-distance call at exorbitant rates. It's another example of how two different technologies used together in ways not originally expected, three-way calling and calling cards, can lead to unexpected risks. And thanks, Grant, for writing in on that.
We had an interesting problem when the phone tapping on cellular phones came, well, mobile phones came more in this site in Germany. The phone company, as they didn't pay the wiretapping by the state, charged the people getting tapped for the cost of being tapped on the phone bill, which has been quite interesting for 2 months.
You're saying that it would show up on the phone bill that, by the way, you're being tapped right now?
Yes, and you would have to pay it. And, well, it was only a big mistake, and we all take it back, and you never have been phone tapped, but
oh,
this
boy.
Has never happened.
That's awesome.
It was O2, by the way.
Another letter, actually, from someone else named Grant. Hi, guys. Finally, I just wanted to say that I love the show. You're unlike any other radio station I've heard before. It's great to know that you provide such an open forum for free speech, and other radio stations most likely would not touch this. Although I live in the UK at the moment, it's good to know I can listen no matter where I am in the world. To the point, at the end of your last show, there was a complaint about an international phone card being used, which caused a bill of several thousand dollars. I had the same experience with my phone here about 4 months ago. I dialed the number given on the card and followed the instructions to call Australia. However, my phone dropped out a lot faster than I expected. I had managed to use up my £10 of credit on my phone in no time, and since then, I've never used a card to dial from a mobile. I'm still not sure the reason why this was, and it was lucky that I wasn't on a plan, otherwise I may not have noticed and received a fairly large bill also. I have a card in front of me now, and I noticed that they have several numbers, one of which is labeled from a mobile. From memory, this number wasn't on my last one, and I don't know whether that was the problem or not. I'm sure this has happened to a lot of people as well. It's a conspiracy by the phone companies to increase profits. And that from Grant A. Believe it or not, different Grant. Both writing in on the same thing. I don't know what the odds of that are.
Well, a lot of the European countries have different calling schemes and charges for things, but there's a lot of controversy locally here in New York about calling cards and people purchasing cards that offer a certain amount of minutes or a certain value, a currency value, and they're just not getting anywhere near what the face value of that is. And so there's all sorts of investigations going into that now. I don't know all the details, but it's something to look into.
Interesting. Here's a letter from Germany. I'm an exchange student. I read about your radio show in a computer. I read about it in a computer security book some weeks ago. 2 days ago, I was sitting in a bookshop and enjoying myself until the cell phone of some random woman began to ring. The ring itself was bad enough, but then she talked, 150 decibels or so. The whole bookshop could listen. It was so annoying, I finally asked her to go outside. Actually, he might be in the States. He says he's an exchange student from Germany, so I guess maybe he's in the States and marveling at the sound of our voices. Things like this happen to me every single day. It is bad enough that cell phones exist, but how people use them without even considering that it might annoy somebody when they talk in such a high volume, that makes me want to have a law or something that doesn't allow cell phones in some places. I'd be glad to hear your opinions about this. Signed, ZB. Keep the conspiracy going.
We were actually guilty of this the other week.
No, you were guilty of this.
We were all listening, and I was told by many people to put it on speakerphone.
You were told by your own mind.
let's just straighten it out here for all the people that got involved in this altercation. All right, we're in a place, and in fact, we were going to call that number that we were calling. We found this number. It's a really cool number that gives out your unlisted name and address if you give it a phone number. Sort of like something we did before, but they're still doing it. And we were testing it out in the place that we were in, and you wanted everybody to hear, so you put your phone on speakerphone, much to the chagrin of everybody else in the establishment.
Everybody wanted to hear. Everybody at the table wanted to hear.
I did not get my ballot. I never voted on that issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think most of the people sitting there were equally as guilty.
And before I forget, something else we did after the show last week. We really should talk about this a little bit. We were just waiting for a bus, and in the street we noticed, what was it, a yellow box?
It was one of those little, I think it was orange or yellow
orange,
or something.
It doesn't matter the color, but
it turned out to be one of those boxes that they put on the side of the street.
You know, with the big rubber hose that goes all the way across the street, and the cars go over it, and it counts, I guess, the number of cars?
Right. And so I think it was Mike who first kind of started stomping on it, and I was curious if it was actually counting his stomps or not. And so I go to the box, and there's a little notch for a padlock on there, that, and it wasn't locked at all.
Uh-huh.
And so I just kind of opened the box, and, you know, there was the counter, and, you know, it was up to, I don't know, 500 and something thousand.
Oh,
yeah, or even Yes, 500 and something.
You sure
thousand.
It wasn't 50,000?
No.
500? That's the number of cars that went by that day?
Number of axles.
Number of axles. Yeah. Okay, that's
a lot
of axles.
I'm pretty sure it was high like that.
Okay. Now, was it a digital display?
It was an interesting digital display with an RS-232 port and a couple of other things. And
so basically it just counts the number of axles or people stomping on the thing.
Or people stomping, yeah.
Did you actually observe as you stomped?
Yes.
Actually.
And every time you stomped, it counted?
And then my finger accidentally slipped.
Oh, it did not. We said, what would happen if we do this? And we did it. I don't have any problems with this. Anybody in the city wants to come up and talk to us about it, fine. But you shouldn't leave your damn boxes on the sidewalk unlocked, all right?
Well, there was a cool reset button.
Yeah, a reset button, and you pushed it.
I slipped. I was pushed.
Uh-huh.
I tripped something.
You know, your stories are getting less and less credible.
So this might be the reason why the traffic survey on Water Street shows zero cars going by last week instead of 500,000 or however many
axles. It was high like that. It was something like that.
So this is how simple it is to completely screw up the infrastructure. And I guess they're never going to repave this street now or something.
Now we know why there are so many cars in Manhattan. People like you have gone ahead and essentially told the Department of Transportation, well, you know, there are no cars going by, none at all.
But, you know, there was another one on the other side of the street that was also unlocked, and we were able to open that one and see how many were going downtown. So I guess if they ever do finalize this study, they're going to show that everybody's heading downtown and nobody's going uptown, and maybe that'll help rebuild downtown, you know, because everybody wants to be there. Arsene?
Well, it was really stupid because there was actually a lock, like, next to the pole that was holding the chain together.
Uh-huh.
And the chain, I guess, was holding the box. And they could have just used that same padlock to keep it locked. They really didn't even need two locks.
Who knows? Who knows what goes through their minds? But, it's a bit of mischief. You know, you should be careful when you look at things like this, but you should always look at things. I wouldn't have hit the reset button, although I'm glad you did because it gives us something to talk about. But I think they got it coming.
I slipped.
Yeah, you slipped. speaking of cell phone manners, did you hear about what happened in Brooklyn yesterday? This is an unbelievable story. There actually was a riot yesterday in Brooklyn. You heard about this?
Yes. I'm concerned with all things Brooklyn.
In Borough Park, residents rushed to the 66th Precinct House, chanting "No justice, no peace" to protest what witnesses say was the rough treatment of a 75-year-old Hasidic business owner by police. Now, get this: the guy was basically approached by police. You know what the offense was? Talking on his cell phone in his car.
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
We had this discussion.
Yeah. Well, no, it's kind of interesting though, because apparently he didn't do what they commanded him to do, and that always rubs me the wrong way when police command you to do something like you work for them or something, and the reaction to him not obeying them immediately was them dragging him out of his car and roughing him up in various ways, according to witnesses. Now, what's particularly interesting about this this charge of talking on the cell phone? Do you know he was parked in his car?
Oh.
He was double parked on a street talking on a cell phone in front of his family-owned bakery in 16th Avenue around 6:30 p.m.
What is it relevant that the bakery is family-owned?
I don't know. It's just in the story. I guess they thought it was a nice touch. So when police attempted to handcuff the guy, two other Hasidic men tried to step in. A crowd then formed, and the scene quickly grew unruly. And I say, God bless them. You know, I wish New Yorkers had everybody else's back like this, because whenever cops do something like this, you have to step in and object. I mean, the guy sitting in a car, not even moving, talking on a cell phone, and what? That's a big issue? McFly.
I had to pay 25 euros for that in Germany also.
For what? Double parking or talking on a phone?
Parking with the car and talking on the phone. The car was switched off.
So what did they give you a ticket for?
For phoning in the car.
For phoning in the car, but it's not moving, it's not even on.
Phoning, well, the key was in the lock.
Uh-huh.
And as it is when you're drunk, when the key is in the lock, you are guilty of
driving drunk. Even if the car wasn't running.
Yes, if you sit in the driver's seat and the key is in the lock, it is the same as if the car
is
running.
There is a long history in the United States of courts ruling that if you are in the driver's seat, definitely if the keys are in ignition, even if the engine is off, definitely if the keys are in the ignition, sometimes the courts rule this even if the keys are not in the ignition, if you are in the driver's seat, almost everything that would be applied if you were moving still goes. Driving drunk, driving unsafely, talking on a cell phone, even if the car is stopped, if you are in the driver's seat, they still get
you. So if you pull over and take a nap, you're going to get charged with driving while sleeping?
I was once in a situation with that. As everyone knows, I don't drive. With a girlfriend at the time, no one anyone knows, we pulled over, and we were nearly arrested for that, essentially. She was dead tired, couldn't drive anymore. I couldn't drive. And, yeah, it was an appropriate place to stop, even though it was a giant shoulder. We were way off. The whole bit.
I just think cops have better things they should be doing than looking for people talking on cell
exactly?
phones.
You should call.
Well, I don't know, something. Maybe taking their SATs again or something.
Checking
I
up
don't
on
know.
People who are singing along to The Clash, perhaps. The other interesting thing about this altercation in Brooklyn
uh-huh.
is that a supposed witness on television said that when the cops approached the guy and attempted to issue him a ticket and or arrest him, whatever, it's unclear exactly what they wanted to do, he could not understand them because he is hard of hearing, according to the witness. Now, which leads to the question, well, then, why is he on his cell phone?
Well, he could have had some kind of
well,
device.
Yeah, exactly. But still, it's there's a lot of weird stuff going on here.
Uh-huh. Yes, McFly.
Yeah, you should call the police more often that you see something suspicious so they don't have any more time to...
I actually call the police a lot, not a lot, but more than most people, because I report things. Like the other day I saw a traffic light that was stuck green in the wrong direction, and it was, you know, traffic was piling up. And it's weird what your cell phone does when you call the police. My cell phone, I use Verizon, it locks up. It goes into emergency mode. And you have to hit a button to get it out of that mode. And then about 10 minutes later, it makes a little ding-dong noise. I don't know what that even means. So I'm not suggesting people call the police, but when you do, take notice of how it works, because it's kind of interesting.
Did you try to call them with *677?
Why would I do that? I dialed 911.
That's good, because supposedly there are faxes and emails popping up all over telling people that on their cell phone they should call the police with *677, which
that means you're dialing 7, because *677 is blocked caller ID.
Well, apparently, I may have the number wrong. This was a news story the other day. But apparently this only works in Ontario, and I'm sure someone from Ontario will call us with the correct number.
I don't know why it would work in Ontario or anywhere else for that matter.
I have an interesting cop story somewhat related to a story I think we talked about 2 weeks ago, which was that cops shouldn't be enforcing radio-related things. And I think we were talking about a pirate operator or something on what
in
near
Florida, yeah.
Anyway, I was in the park yesterday, actually, playing on HF in the amateur radio bands, and I had a box full of mostly homebrew equipment, like a little QRP transceiver and, you know, CW key and stuff like that. And it was dusk, and the park's signs state that, you know, the park closes at dusk, and so my car was still parked there, and, you know, a cop comes along and makes a lot of noise with his sirens and his horns, and I start taking down my antennas and packing everything up and whatever. So I walk up to him, and he's like, "Anyone else back there?" And, "No, not that I know of." And, "What were you doing back there anyway?" And it's a park, and so I wasn't sure if this is the sort of question that would be appropriate. Anyway, so I basically told him, I was like, "I was playing with the radio." Mm-hmm. And he goes, what do you mean playing with the radio?" And I was like, I was listening to shortwave, and I show him this box of like all basically homemade junk, and he goes, what?
See, this is your mistake, Joe. Your next response is to ask him, am I being detained? And if the answer is no, just leave. You don't have to explain to the cop why you're standing around in a park.
That might work on the little ACLU card, but it doesn't work in real life, okay? Because they'll do what they did to the guy in Brooklyn. They'll tackle you, they'll drag you away, and there won't be a crowd of people to, like, burn fires in the middle of the street to protect
and
you.
And that's the problem. It was me and him and no one for, like, probably, you know, half a mile or so.
Yeah, well, it could have killed you right there, buried the body, and that would have been it.
Well, we
wouldn't have asked any questions.
Well, the thing is, you want to sort of get on his nice side so that if anything does end up happening, you know, it's not so serious.
So did he succeed in getting on his nice side?
Oh, it was fine. I mean, he was basically just like, get out of here. But he totally didn't understand the concept of what I was doing and why I would want to be there and whatever. So it was just pretty interesting.
How come cops always get to tell you to get out of here? Can't you ever tell a cop, you get out of here? You know, I'd like to do that.
I've tried. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work, does it?
Well, it works in your homeland.
Well,
the problem with McFly's proposal to call the police whenever I see something suspicious is most of the suspicious things I see are being perpetrated by the police, and they don't. There's no way to report, like, police who are running red lights and driving on the sidewalk.
I tried that once.
It doesn't work.
I tried to report a cop running red light. He almost ran me over once with no lights on and at nighttime, and they refused to take the report, and I started getting prank called by cops like 3 hours later. I got a call from somebody who said, "You called the police?" It's like, who wants to know? And they wouldn't tell me.
Well, you shouldn't tell them that's the police. But I couldn't have seen that there was a police. I just
but how else do I report the guy if I don't say it's a cop car? Here's his number. You know, they.
I assure you, you got different number plates here. Sorry.
Okay, a couple more letters, and we'll take some phone calls. 212-209-2900. Per the extended conversation on last week's show, that was with Seraph talking about his T-Mobile nightmare trying to get out of a contract. I always record every phone discussion with any company or agency with the new tiny digital recorders with USB ports. It's simple to just set the recorder on the speakerphone during the call. That way I always have a recording of exactly what was said on both sides of the phone. Signed, Jim. Good idea, Jim. Nowadays, every cell phone company has free roaming. This is another suggestion from a different listener. Because of this, there is a mention in the cell phone contract that if the customer spends more time on roaming than on the carrier network, it's grounds for dismissal of the contract. So all you have to do is for every however many minutes you spend on their network, spend twice that on a different network, and they'll simply drop your contract as you costing them too much money.
I don't think that's true, though, the roaming thing. That every carrier has free roaming, that's not true, but it makes sense that if you were on somebody else's network more than you are on their network.
If you have that kind of a plan, I guess, where you have free roaming on a different network and you're able to, but how do they manage to get away with it without some kind of penalty being imposed? I guess they can cancel your contract anytime they want, but if you try to do it, you get fined $250.
To be honest, I haven't read the contracts. They're fairly long.
Nobody has.
Well, but you know who wrote the contract, and you can thereby guess what it probably says.
All right. Let's see. This. What else here? The Internet now features this particular site, jaja.com, jajah.com. Using voice over IP, they put in your telephone number and the number you want to call. Then they ring you, sort of like calling long distance in the old days or calling with a Liechtenstein phone. There's a five-minute demo of the service. I think that's pretty cool, but I also wonder, could you not use this to call any two people and hook them together and start all sorts of arguments and fights?
No, I tried this service today.
Did you?
And it didn't work.
Really? What happened?
I had it call my cell phone and then call the number I wanted to talk to, and it called my cell phone and said, please wait while we connect your call. But then I just got like a fast busy. Didn't work.
Well, maybe the person on the other end was unavailable or something.
I don't know.
It reminds me of those services that say they'll spoof caller ID for you, where in order to do this, they call you, and then you enter in the number that you want to call. And this is all on an online web form, I believe, and it'll call both parties. And then, you know, in addition to connecting two random people, you can also fake the caller ID.
Interesting. How would one of you like to set up our computer to call one of our cell phones and the radio station at the same time, and we can see if it actually works? Call the other line. Meanwhile, a couple other letters here. Thanks for your show. If it was possible to get Voice over IP fully working in the studio, it would be interesting to have special guests on from Australia and the Asian countries that share its time zones. They're about 12 hours offset from New York, so guests might comfortably join your show before going to work in the morning. I always enjoy hearing about the projects and perspectives of European hackers when you have them on your show. This might be fun, too. Signed, Tim, listening on WVCQ, the shortwave station. And great, we should really get that voice over IP working once and for all so we can do things like that. It would be a lot of fun. Let's see what else here. Okay, this person writes in, I don't know if you heard, but Jo Caro was released from her captors in Iraq. This is good news, but something in the second paragraph of the article that was released about it intrigued me. An Islamist website is mentioned, but as usual, no URL is given. Do you guys know of any actual Islamist websites, or is it just propaganda? I'd love to visit one of them so I can see just what the media is talking about. Signed, M2 Mike. I imagine these are sites that only the media knows about, and they're probably keeping it very very secretive. That way they kind of know that it's real, but they don't have everybody in the world finding out at the same time as them.
Well, we are trying to contact some Islamic websites, but usually the most problem on those websites is that you need some Islamic people to read Arabic,
right?
Which not really many people do.
Uh-huh.
But it's also a problem in countries speaking Latin. I was trying to find some German websites, mass media websites, in English version for the people over here, and I only found one. So the language barrier is really a big one on the Internet.
It is. It is, to this day, believe it or not. Except for those of us who speak English, it's very easy for us. for the most part. Okay, we have this thing set up now. Yes, McFly.
I disagree with that it's very easy for those who speak English, because I tried to find the English website from the German point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I only found the Spiegel Online, who has an international website. Most of the major German newspapers who have the big websites don't have an English version.
Uh-huh.
So with English, you only get to the main page and then found out that you got the wrong language installed on yourself.
Interesting. All right, so we have the thing set up. We're going to call Redbird's phone, and we're going to hook up to the radio station at the same time.
So first it's going to call the station, and we'll pick up, and then allegedly we'll be connected.
All right, this call costs, it went off the screen, but it was like 0.01 something cents or something like that. Let's see. Good evening.
Please hold. Jaja will connect your call.
Okay, now we're going to see if your phone rings. And if your phone does ring, oh, it's ringing.
Unknown call.
All right. Why don't you pick that up?
Hello.
Oh, you sound pretty good. I'm going to turn down the microphone over here. Now talk to us.
This is Redbird on a cell phone.
There's a delay. It's kind of disconcerting here, but you're able to hear me fine.
Absolutely. Sounds great. And no caller ID information was sent, but it does work.
Okay. There is quite a delay, though.
Well.
Yeah, when you say something, it's about half a second, I think.
I'm curious how the call's routed, but I guess it...
All right, enough of that. Okay. I don't know, but it's you can really annoy a lot of people. You know, years ago, I used to have a lot of fun with multi-key phones where I'd push down different buttons and connect people. Everybody would, of course, think that the other person called them, and it resulted in all sorts of mayhem and fun for everybody. But that site again, jaja.com, jaja.com. And this call cost 0.0174 cents per minute. But who's paying for it?
No one's paying. So it's a free demo. But they want you to sign up for their paid service.
Okay. So if we were to use that, it would cost virtually nothing. Okay. I think that's just about everything for this week. Letter-wise, so let's take some phone calls. 212-209-2900. Again, our email address, oth@2600.com. Snail mail, if you want to write to us, is off the hook. Care of WBAI, 120 Wall Street.
Oh, man.
10th floor.
He just set you back. New York, New York.
10005.
All right, see, Walter, I'm waiting for my assignment, and you keep screwing up. And
yeah, that's what happens. All right, let's take one of our listener phone calls down here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, what's up?
BAI?
Yes, speak up, please.
Yeah, regarding the encrypted phone. This guy Phil Zimmerman's got a thing called Z Phone for voice over IP.
Mm-hmm.
Just read about it yesterday. I haven't been able to test it out.
Okay. Has anybody here tested that?
No. I also read about it. But
yeah. Supposedly the reviews are glowing, considering it's just in beta.
Additionally, regarding translating web pages, it's slightly cumbersome, but you can go to AltaVista or a few of those translations and put in URLs, and they'll spit it out in a myriad of different languages.
And all sorts of misperceptions as to what words mean. But it's fun to read.
True, indeed. Probably political or POV type stuff might be difficult, but more, if you need fact-based websites, maybe it's a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to read the other day a website which was in Swedish, which is a language that I don't speak. And the Babelfish doesn't speak Swedish at all, and I went to some other website which claimed to translate, and it was so bad, I had no idea what it was about.
Yeah, that happens occasionally. I went on a foreign Amazon site the other day and ordered something without knowing the language at all, and I think it's going to go through. It was actually pretty simple. Once you just sort of hold it up to another site with a different language, you sort of know what they might be saying at this point in time, and sort of an adventure.
I've done stuff like that, but for articles that have, like, paragraphs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work so well.
No. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
What's up?
I had a question about a cell phone and its recording mechanism.
Okay.
I had a landline service that I canceled with a small independent phone company. And when I moved out of the apartment, and what they did was they reinstated the landline 2 months later and back charged me the 2 months that the landline they happily canceled 2 months previously.
Uh huh.
So I call them up, and I bring this to their attention, and they're trying to straighten it out. I call them back 2 days later after they don't return my call, and I use my recording mechanism on my i730 Nextel phone.
Okay.
It works the first time, but then I was pretty sure, I wasn't sure, I was a little shady on the rules. Like, I wanted to make sure I was recording them and then they knew about it. So the second time I called, I let them know. And as soon as I let them know, my recording mechanism went dead on my phone.
Really?
And it never worked again.
I don't think they have that kind of power.
I'll tell you right now, but the call before, it worked. It was about a 10-minute call. It recorded the whole thing. I deleted it.
Uh-huh.
And then I called them back, and then when I spoke to them again, I told the woman, and as soon as I told the woman, I'm talking about a matter of 2 seconds, my phone call just dropped off of the record. It just ended, and then my recording mechanism never worked.
Can I ask where you live?
I live in Brooklyn.
Then you live in New York. You don't have to even tell them. You can just record the phone call, and as long as one party knows about it, you're fine.
I'm curious as to what you said to the other party. Did you say, oh, by the way, I'm recording this call, or did you go into more specifics?
No, I just said that I'm recording this call, and she said, you know, that's illegal if I don't agree to it. I said, I'm not sure about that, but what I'll do is we'll record this call, and if, you know...
Don't they have a recording themselves that says, for quality purposes, this call may be recorded?
They do.
So can't they just apply that to you, that you might be the one doing the quality control?
I know. It seemed like the logical thing to say. But, you know, in the moment, I was really pissed off that I had a $235 bill that, you know, I shouldn't have had in the first place.
Uh-huh. They should have no problem with you recording a phone call from one of their reps to you. What do they have to hide?
Yeah. Well, they're rat bastard phone company.
Well, even if they have this capability... I can't understand how they would know to apply it to a cell phone. Did you say you were recording on a cell phone and they hit the, you know, avoid cell phone recording? If you had just said, by the way, I'm recording this, they wouldn't know whether you have a tape recorder, a wax cylinder machine going, a stenographer or what?
I may have said, I can't remember, but I may have said I'm recording this on my cell phone. Or, who knows, maybe they applied all their weaponry at once.
Well, I never thought of them as like a Death Star, but I guess they're capable of doing that.
I can't imagine how they would be.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know how Nextel phones do the things that they do. They have the two-way radio thing. Do they also have two-way control of features? Can they disable features remotely?
Possibly.
Well, it is a proprietary protocol, I think, IDEN, right, or something, but... I can't imagine that it would be something that they would have control over.
It sounds a bit far-fetched, but...
Well, I bet you if you go down to the phone company that's mm-hmm. based in New Jersey, all the salespeople and all the people who work in that office probably all have third red-eye lasers in the middle of their forehead.
Okay, well, I think we've demonized
no, let me,
good
let
folks
just,
over
let me
there.
Let me just nail one thing down.
Yes.
You're having this conversation with a landline company, not with your... cell phone provider, correct?
Yes, I was phasing out all landlines.
Oh, I thought you were talking to those same people.
That's why this is getting even more far-fetched.
Okay, now they don't have that power.
If you're talking to your cell phone company, yeah, possibly they can control your features.
Yeah, I was calling from my cell phone to the landline company.
What was the landline company, by the way? You can tell us.
All right, Spectratel.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, well, I guess not many people have, and I looked them up on the internet to see what their rating was, and they know how many complaints they had lodged against them.
Uh-huh.
And there was only one other than mine, and it was just becoming a point, not even the money anymore, it was just principle, like they were trying to get over. I had moved out of the apartment, and they just happened to reactivate the line and then send me bills.
Well, definitely a complaint is in order, and the complaints do make a difference. Just find out whatever authority is overseeing them. I think in this case it would be the Public Service Commission, but it could be the FCC as well. And file a complaint, and believe me, it does make a difference. Even companies as big as Verizon, they feel the effects of that. We're going to move on. Thanks for that interesting call there. And good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I think that... I think the answer to the question of the situation happened with the gentleman in the park, and I think that the police take advantage of people not knowing their rights or people being afraid or inexperienced to not speak up their rights. And I think that if people voice their rights, the police would not, more people voice their rights, the police would not take advantage of these situations.
Sure, but one of my main points in the story was something that we had discussed in the previous week or 2 weeks, was that police shouldn't be stepping out of their field of expertise if they do indeed have one, and enforcing laws that apply to things that should be governed by the FCC, including radio, which he clearly didn't understand in this circumstance. But you also have to keep in mind that I was in a park totally by myself. There was really nobody else there, and it was just me and the cop, and whatever he said would have been the truth, and whatever I said would have been a lie to anyone else who would have heard the story from both of us. So I think
did you have your FCC license with you?
Oh, absolutely.
By the way, I'm a ham radio operator too. Great hobby, by the way. Do you operate? Could you give your call sign? You rather not?
No, sure. K2BAT.
Oh, okay. I'm W2HL. Glad to meet you.
All right.
And this is WBAI here.
And what was the wind up with what happened in Borough Park? With the, I'm curious to know.
Well, basically, to sum up. The guy was dragged out of his car, supposedly, according to witnesses, because he wasn't complying with what the police said. And this was all started because they noticed him talking on a cell phone in a double-parked car.
And do you know what the wind-up was?
He ended up with a desk appearance ticket. There were at least two other arrests. The first two people who, quote, came to his aid, unquote. There may have been others. There were a number of small trash fires in the middle of the street, 16th Avenue, the neighborhood of 48th Street in Brooklyn. And they sent riot cops out. It was all pretty quiet by about 3 a.m.
Right. Okay, thank you. And I just wanted to comment on, I think that, if more people were voiced their rights, police definitely step over. They go a little bit too far at times. They're inquisitive. They ask questions when there isn't really probable cause for them to ask questions.
Right. I think it's a difficult situation when the only two witnesses are you and the officer.
Yeah, so it's definitely different than I totally sympathize because years ago when I found myself in the middle of North Carolina being pulled over by a trio of cops, actually, and demanding to search my car when they had no real right to, you sort of feel very intimidated that, like, if I don't do this, what's going to happen to me? And I don't think, I think the situation is very different when a crowd of your friends is around.
Right. If more people were there, I would have certainly thought about giving him a much harder time. It doesn't matter what I'm doing in the park. It's a public park. And if it's closing now, I'll leave. However,
you don't have to get into an argument. You can just leave.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
I'm enjoying the show thoroughly, and you guys have a very good evening.
Thanks. Thanks for your call.
7-3.
All right. Yeah. How did that phrase evolve anyway? Do you have any idea?
I don't know, no.
You just blindly say it, you have no idea what it really means. 7-3. I'm sure we'll get, is it 73 or 7-3?
7-3, 73, whatever, I don't know.
All right, well, we're going to get letters now.
It's one of those things, people say it different ways.
I know, I just like to know why I say certain things, take it easy. What does that mean? What are you taking easy exactly?
It.
What's it?
It.
Nobody knows what it is.
It's everything.
Uh-huh. Then you should say, take everything easy. I don't know. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening.
What's on your mind?
I got a question about a landline.
Okay.
Okay. I got this landline, right? And I became remiss on my billing, and they shut it off. And then, miraculously, some period later, it got turned back on. Now, it's been like a year and a half.
Turn on your radio, please.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We're hearing two of you.
So this landline got turned back on. Now the exchange stayed the same, but the number changed. So now I have this phone that I'm speaking to you on right now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not being billed on it. So I'm getting free service from the network, and I'm just wondering what my ramifications are. Like, am I going to see a bill somewhere down the line? $30,000 at some future date.
let me go out on a limb and say, do you live in an apartment or something similar?
No, I live in the hinterlands of America, actually.
Really? That's a bit surprising, because usually what happens in a case like this is your line is defunct, your account is defunct, they turn on service for somebody else, they cross a wire somewhere,
exactly.
And you're piggybacking on either somebody else's line that they don't know about and you just haven't coincidentally picked up the phone at the same time, or it's an extra line that was supposed to be assigned to somebody when they wanted three lines, two get installed, one gets turned on but not correctly installed, and then they complain, hey, I only have two lines. They turn on and install a third line in there, and what should have been their third line is your new line. The tip-off is generally the change of the telephone number. It's an error of some sort. I don't know exactly what.
This happened to me also for about 6 months. After that, it got turned on again, and I never hit anything. It just would say good luck.
Okay.
Also, I live in an apartment building as well, and in the basement, actually in the laundry room, there's, you know, the big telco panel, and it's never locked. There's never even a cover on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the telco people leave little notes to each other, like, I have absolutely no idea what the hell this line is. Like, literally, just like that.
Uh-huh.
And even worse words that I can't say on the air. And it's just really funny, because there's notes left all over the place. I don't know where this line goes, and things are just hooked up, and it, you know,
you press the reset button in there too?
No. but you could easily connect any pair that you want to your line, and they would never know. It's such a, like a rat's nest.
Yeah, it totally is. Here, look at all the wires there.
Okay, but this is just like a residential line, and mm-hmm. My question is, can you tell me, like, if I have any, like, liability on this line? Like, can I be charged a bill, some future bill?
Well, you could be held liable for the calls that they can prove you made if they're able to do that. The question is that something they can do easily?
No, because this is like the first long-distance call I've made in like 2 years.
Uh-huh. The one to us?
Correct.
You must really be in the hinterlands to refer to a call as long-distance these days, because nothing is long-distance anymore.
Yeah, I'm in the heartlands of America. I got a big antenna, and I'm listening to you from the heartlands of America.
Could you say
cool.
What state?
Well, it's a commonwealth.
It's a commonwealth. Let's figure this out.
Pennsylvania? Kentucky?
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
That's not so far away.
Well, if he's in near Pittsburgh, it's far away.
That's true, but still, you know, long distance. It's long distance, I consider maybe calling Romania or something.
He's our age, okay? He regards it as long distance.
How do you know how old he is by listening to him on the...
No, but I'm saying that's the assumption.
All right. Thanks for your call. We're going to try and get one more in. Let's go all the way down here. And good evening. You're on the air.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Oh, that's me. Okay, get in. Take the phone away from the radio device and talk to us.
Yeah, okay.
What's on your mind?
Oh, I'm trying to find out. I've been seeing stuff on the internet about base stations for cell phone.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if you could tell me, are they any good? You know, do they work where you disconnect the landline and it'll run the phones throughout the house?
I know what you're talking about, and these are sort of hybrid devices that switch between a landline and cellular service when you're in your house, and I have no comment on them, but I know they exist.
How long have they been around for?
I started seeing them pop up... you know, end of last year.
Sounds like a good idea if it works. Question is if. You know, are these things expensive?
I think I was looking at about $149.
Yeah, that's pricey for something that might not work. I'd say keep listening and see what people say about them. I'm sure one of us is going to use one at some point, and we'll let you know how good or how bad it is. That's our show pretty much for tonight. So I want to thank everybody for calling in, for listening. Now, McFly, I believe on German radio, they're listening to us tomorrow or something, and we're gonna actually have an extended program that follows this program, right?
Yes, we will have c-radar.ccc.de in 22 hours.
Okay, so if you're listening to that now in Germany, is there something you want to say to them, maybe in German?
Well, I don't think I should say anything in German. We want to do the whole show in English this time, which shouldn't be a big problem because most Germans speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope some of those Americans who listen to your show will just tune in to our live stream. They work also over here.
And how can people listen to your show from over here?
c-radar.ccc.de. Just go to the website and click on live stream and you're on the live stream.
Okay. Don't forget, folks, 2600 meetings are this Friday coming up, and we're going to have another Hope Coordination meeting at the Citigroup Center in New York City between the hours of 5 and 8. If you're interested in being part of the Hope Conference, whether it be the network, we're going to be talking about Blinking Lights a little bit. I know you won't be there, but a bunch of us will be talking about those projects and other things. Just show up and tell us what you can do. Check out the website, www.hope.net, for more updates. See you next week.
Yes, the island, you know, the thing. I just come back from Barbados and it's snowing. I'm going back to the airport and going back to Barbados. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.